There are very few accolades remaining to describe the voice and the talent of Mr. Kurt Elling, but one that I think captures his true place in the music world over the last, say, 20 years is when the New York Times described Kurt Elling as the standout male vocalist of our time. The voice with the force of a freight train, but so tender he can melt your heart like Sinatra. Kurt Elling, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kurt, it's been 2 years and a couple of days since we last spoke. We're excited to be having you back here in Sydney.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to being back in Sydney. It's one of my favourite stops in all the world.
I read recently where Branford Marsalis, who you've been working with extensively over the last 18 months, outlined what attracted him to your jazz singing. And he said, to paraphrase, the fact that you can change your voice to suit the emotion in the lyric and therefore have an effect on the listener in a way that, say, Billie Holiday could. Is that something that you've consciously developed, or is it simply intuitive for you when interpreting the lyric?
You know what? I don't know if it's 100% one way or the other. Since I can remember, music has been an emotional experience for me. The songs that I have sung, even beginning with my father at a, you know, when he was a church musician and I was a very, very little boy, the hymns all had a very, very emotional content that they were there to put over. He was a very emotional player. He wanted to get people as emotional as possible about the music. And I just feel like that's part of the job. If I've developed it over the years, I can't say that I've asked myself consciously, you know, what would more emotion sound like? Maybe I'm just older and more liberated in my delivery and less scared. Maybe I'm doing more emotional material. Maybe I just have more experience in the world. Maybe it's just that I turned 50 and I don't care anymore. I just want to sing what I really believe in. But I guess that's always been the case with me. I've just been growing. So is it intellect? I'm the guy that can tell you.
Your new album, Kurt, Questions, it's called. It's yet another album where you've been able to conceive of a group of songs that result in a definitive concept. With your album, Questions, you're talking about life's big questions here in a lot of ways. Can you tell us how this evolved?
Well, I wasn't really sure when we went into the studio that I certainly didn't have the title for the record, The Questions, on hand. I had a selection of material that I was excited about. I had a band that I was very excited about, and I had Branford Marsalis' collaboration going into the studio. And it wasn't until we recorded everything and that I was listening back to it in the mixing studio that I realized, I guess, the breadth of questions that we were contending with, political questions, questions of mortality, questions of love, questions of aging, questions of friendship, questions of sustainability. And it wasn't until then that I figured, oh, man, I guess I'm doing one of my records again. and then I had to really think to myself, well, what's this about? And I knew consciously that I was trying to, in my own way, confront the geopolitical questions of this moment. You know, I don't want to stand by as a citizen of the world or as a citizen of the United States and not weigh in some way on the destructive. I don't want to not stand up to what's happening.
2 years ago when we spoke, Barack Obama was still president, but approaching the end of his reign, and I think you'd just performed for him at the White House on International Jazz Day. And when I asked you what he would be remembered for, you told me that he would be remembered for his civility, his dignity, and you also told me that you were proud to have him as your president. So in light of that, can you describe how you feel today in terms of how your president is positioning your country?
Well, I think he's endangering the world at this point. I have to say, in a sad way, though I'm shocked every day by what comes out of the executive branch, I'm not surprised wholeheartedly. I think anybody who was paying attention to not only the headlines, but to his own personal and professional history, anybody who had done homework on this person would have seen straight away that he was a moral vacuum and that he was only in it for himself, that he's not that intelligent, and that we're all in deep danger because of this fellow. The peace agreements, the ecological agreements, the way that he's pulled out of, the way that he treats other leaders of the world, the lack of respect he has for our partners and for our enemies, the lack of respect he has for anyone who's not himself. I mean, I could go on and on. I don't mean to say that when I come to Australia, we're going to have a political evening, because I'm a jazz singer and I'm a musician. I'm simply, when you ask me a question like that, I'm a citizen of the world. I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm enraged by what's happening. I'm disturbed and disgusted that people on the right in America who should know better, whose ideals are better than this, are not standing up to this travesty, this moron, this incredible devastation to law and order and to the reputation of America in the world. I'm ashamed of them, and all I can do is try to put my small shoulder to the wheel as a citizen and as a musician and tell people the truth from the way that I see it, and to say, if it was up to me and if it was up to the vast numbers of people of goodwill in America, things would be radically different today than they are.
Kurt, you've said in the past that you like to surround yourself with clever people. What special qualities do your current band members bring to the bandstand?
Well, in their way, each one of my bandmates is smarter than me. You know, there are different gifts in the kingdom. I can come to Stuart Mindeman, who's playing piano and beats the organ with us these days, and I can invite him to help me out. Maybe I have a small idea for a big arrangement, and he'll be able to work with me on that until it comes to fruition. Or I can send him a piece of poetry that feels like it has a melody in it, and I'll say, man, I can't hear the melody in this, but I know it's there. What do you got? And he'll, sure enough, make it something that's remarkable. Clark Summers, who's playing contrabass with me, as always on this gig, he will always ingeniously remind everybody, substantively remind everybody in the band where one is, no matter how far afield we go. Christian Newman is a young gentleman who's playing drums with us these days. He's a graduate of the Monk Institute. He has his own individual history, his own literary philosophy, his own philosophy of drumming, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm so happy to have him in the band. And John McLean, who's playing guitar with us, can just tear it up in a way that, I mean, he can play the blues again. I can't play the blues like that. I gotta have somebody who can do that, and John is my man.
You performed at the International Jazz Day concert this year in St. Petersburg, and I note with some excitement that the event is due to be held next year here in Sydney at the Opera House. Is there a possibility we can see you again here for that?
Well, I'm afraid it's not up to me, my friend, but I'd love to be invited, and I'm happy to be in Australia every chance I get. I feel so welcome there. I feel so at home. I feel like Australia is one of the really special places in the world. And I've got a lot of friends down there. And if I get the chance at all to make the team, then I'll be there.
In 1965, Kurt, at the age of 50, Sinatra named Tony Bennett as the best singer in the world. Which of the jazz singers today capture your attention as being on the top of their art?
Well, you'd have to say Diane Reeves for sure. I mean, her voice is such a remarkable and such a powerful instrument. The precision that with which she attacks things, she really has a point of view on what's happening. And I do bow to her as the current reigning queen, I think. I love my friend Dee Dee Bridgewater. She's such a delight. She brings so much energy, and she's so full of moxie, and we have so much fun together. I want to say Andy Bay is still making remarkable music and is one of the undersung heroes of our music. But I mean, you know, if you want to step away from jazz, I think Bryn Terfel is still got the remarkable baritone sound in opera. I love the Welsh thing that he's got, the passion that you can hear clearly in the music. My friend Renee Fleming continues to astonish me with her incredible nuance, especially her recital work is so wonderful. on and on. I'm not sure that there's just one. There are several remarkable singers who deserve people's attention.
Like me, you've got a 12-year-old daughter, and I believe also a newly fostered son. In these days of connectivity, is it still as tough as one might think, being on the road so much and away from your family?
Emotionally, it's as much of a challenge. I'm grateful for the internet. I'm grateful for these inexpensive phones, and you can phone home all the time and FaceTime. Those are invaluable gifts to me, and I know to all my touring musician friends. It helps a lot, but there's nothing like being home. And the loss, or I should say the sacrifice that my touring life demands of me is great. I don't complain about it, but it's a real thing. I'm grateful to my wife for understanding it, for supporting it, and for welcoming me home. I'm grateful to my daughter for maturing quickly and for forgiving me for being away as much as I am. And I hope that my little man will be similarly well adjusted to this strange and unreal life that I live.
Sadly, last time we spoke, it was in the shadow of the passing of Mark Murphy. This time I need to ask you about the great John Hendricks, who passed away in November last year at the age of 96. What do you regard as the lasting legacy that John Hendricks left you?
Well, John Hendricks, I mean, to me personally, I would never be able to thank John enough. As an individual, he welcomed me, he embraced me, he encouraged me, he taught me, he trusted me as one of 100 jazz singers in the world. John really changed the face of the music by writing the incredible works of lyrical poetry that he wrote, by singing with such remarkable mastery, both improvisationally and as a singer of vocalese, as a creator and singer of vocalese, which are really jazz arias. And his showmanship is still unparalleled. His ability to tell a story, his ability to tell a joke, his generosity. I really can't place a heavy enough premium on what John brought to me and to the jazz world.
I imagine you'll be performing repertoire from Questions during your Australian tour. Will you be reaching back into the catalogue for Australian audiences as well?
As always, I try to give people what they hoping they were here, and also things that they didn't know they were hoping they were here.
It sounds fantastic, Kurt, and it's great to have you back in Sydney. Once again, thanks very much for joining us on Now's the Time, and we wish you all the very best with the Australian tour.
Thank you, my friend. It's great to hear from you again.